Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, and I'm here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Michael Gilbert of the Northwest Vision Institute. Before we get to our next call, in fact, phone lines are open for you, 800-465-8770. Let's talk with Dr. Gilbert about what's new with eye health.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what's there are a couple of things. One is a new drug. There's a condition, it's an infestation, we'll call it an infection, that's very common. Demodex, you know about Demodex?
Yeah, little mites on the eyelashes.
Boy. Yes.
But they're devilishly hard to kill.
Yeah.
And there's a new drug that is will successfully
do that. Is that why they call them demon necks?
Demon.
Oh, maybe so.
So these are
devilishly hard.
So I want you to write. I know you take notes.
Yes, lots of notes.
Right? So, Lynette, I want you to write D-E-M-O-D-E-X. And those of you who have a computer can do a quick Google of it and look at the videos. The best part is, it's a characteristic infestation of the eyelashes associated with dry eyes. And so many people come in with this, found only under the microscope, because you can't really look at your eyes until you got it.
Oh, boy.
But they are, the videos will show that they're little crawly things.
On your eyelashes and eyelids.
And they love the thick secretions coming from those, your favorite glands,
the meibomian glands.
And they love those warm, sticky, thick secretions that are right at the base of the eyelashes. So these little parasites, actually, microparasites, you can pluck the eyelash, put it under a microscope, and you can see them crawling around. But you can also see them on the internet. So they can be eradicated by IPL.
Mm. Okay.
Intense light pulsation, which Dr. Umat does through Bella Medica. It's generally used for cosmetic purposes. However, also new, there is a new application technology and ability to use wavelengths. So the IPL can be done on the eyelids.
Wow,
so
okay.
Now you can do eyelid IPL, and the reason that's important is it's probably the best treatment for meibomian gland dysfunction, which is the number one cause of dry eye symptoms.
Okay.
85-90% of patients who have dry eye symptoms, it's from those meibomian glands. And so this new technology, way to apply IPL to those glands, can help turn those around. It does so by disrupting the light wavelengths that are being administered, will wipe out the vasculature that is eluding inflammatory markers onto right on the surface of the eye. So by taking out those blood vessels, we not only improve the quality of the tears, but decrease the redness because you're getting rid of the blood vessels.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's huge.
Does that sound huge?
That is big, yes. Because so many people have dry eye.
Right.
And
exactly.
You experience that, folks.
And it's getting worse.
Mm.
Largely because of the tech tech focus of society. I have so many young people coming in 20s, 30s,
oh, wow.
40s, who don't understand why they're having their dry eyes.
Yeah, I just stare at my computer all day.
The worst thing is, so I start by telling them that your dry eyes are coming from you staring at the computer.
Okay.
And so I know their first thought is, okay, big deal, I'll just blink. But the worst part is those glands that you aren't using when you're staring at the computer live and die by the old adage, use it or
lose it.
Lose it. And so I saw a patient yesterday who, late 30s, and I looked at the glands, and about a 75% loss, 75% permanent loss
wow.
of the glands. I'm seeing that even in teens. I have a very small group of teens, you know, especially usually young male gamers who are, you know, intense, long, long hours.
Yeah, hour after hour without blinking, just staring
wow.
at the screen.
That's right. And then mom and dad or mom or dad will bring them in and say, you know, what's the problem? What drop can we use to fix this? And then I show them that we're now missing about 80% of the glands.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, some of the work that you've been talking about, Jerry, about the possibility of regrowing thymus, I have speculated for some time. And some of these people, I've told them, I said, the bad news is, at your young age, you have a high percentage of permanent loss of these glands. However, here's the good news. At your age, not my age, at your age, I think within your lifetime, we'll be regrowing glands.
Yeah.
And so I think we're still along. I don't see it, mm-hmm. but I think it's over the horizon. And some of the work you've talked about
yeah.
makes me think that that really is likely to happen sometime in the
likely.
Future.
And when you're talking, I'm suddenly, you know, running through my recent armamentarium. we got rapamycin, of course, which is a sirtuin 1 inhibitor, but it kind of youthifies and gets glands growing again reasonably well. But the other thing now is sirtuin 6. SIRT6 activation as opposed to SIRT1 inhibition. Is a stimulator. Yeah, starts to influence tissues to grow and become more youthful. And we don't have a prescription drug for sirtuin 6, but we do know which chemicals do it. And the absolute highest dietary component for this would be the black currant berry.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's the most common ones for people think blueberries are good. SIRT6 are stimulated the chemical about 5 milligrams per 100 grams of blueberries. But it's 300 grams or milligrams per 100 grams of
black currant.
Well, blackberries first.
Oh, blackberries.
Black raspberries. And then the black currant is up around 780.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, milligrams per 100 grams. So the black currant by far is the most potent stimulator, activator for sirtuin 6. So there may even be some dietary things we can do to help you start growing these glands again, which would be pretty interesting.
Yes. How widely available are black currants?
Yes, I don't even know where you can get those.
Well, the thing with black currants...
And you can get jelly or something
but
I don't...
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, I have investigated that a bit. It's, it's widely grown in Florida and Mississippi and Missouri in low country, wet. It needs a lot of water. But the problem is that when you try to buy the black currant syrups and stuff, a lot of them are adulterated with rice.
Well, you're kidding.
No. And so the trick is to...
check the ingredients.
Yeah, you have... Well, and of course, they lie. If they're going to adulterate it, they're going to lie. And so if you can get real unadulterated black currant juices, but they're pricey and frequently are adulterated with less potent stuff, which gets rid of some of it. So I've actually... been thinking about this year, going down, finding myself
finding a source,
a grower, and have them use the, you know, the chromatography, etc., to prove that it is indeed unadulterated, and then bring it into the Relief Factor Company as a product.
I just knew there was going to be a black currant factor.
Yes, I think a black currant tea.
Black currant tea.
Yes, for those that like it tart and strong.
That's right. You know how it is. I do the science, and then that mixes up with my business mind.
Yes.
So.
Wow. Okay.
But if I
science doesn't have value until you find application and availability.
Well, and the fact is,
theory matters much less than you know.
I've looked. I look at a lot of them online and stuff, but I don't know how to tell if they're good or bad. And the only way is you do them, you know, a electrophoresis and chromatography studies to really isolate what chemicals are in it. But you don't know that when you buy it. You just see the label. And so if I'm going to put it in my company, I want to know that it is
it's the real
stuff.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the best that you can get.
So you, know, you spend a few $100 on each crop, you know, and make sure that
prove that it's the real deal.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Can be done.
Okay. Taking another call, and you can get through too. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. We have Peggy on the line right now. Good morning, Peggy. Thank you for waiting. How can we help?
Oh, good morning. Dr. Mixon, I'm so excited that you are in our area. I thank you so much for all your work.
Well, thank you, dear.
I'm calling today about three medications. I'm going to the heart doctor, Dr. Maiden, and he has given me, for micro heart vessels, L-C-A-R-N-I-T-I-N-E, L-carnitine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For micro heart vessels.
Yes.
Do you know anything about that?
It's oh, yes.
It's a vitamin.
It is. It's a supplement. It's over-the-counter, but acetyl L-carnitine. Crosses the blood-brain barrier and also helps your brain to work better. It makes the lining of the arterioles, the very small arteries, very slick so that the blood vessels carry more blood per vessel. It actually gets better nutrition.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of fascinating. I actually had Ruben in my office yesterday. Excuse me. And he was showing me some arteriograms of hearts that had like 99% occlusions, where the blood vessel had narrowed down to the point that this person was on the verge of having a fatal heart attack. And he stented the first big one, and then he put the rest of them on his program with supplements like he's giving you. And over a 2-year period, it actually reversed the heart disease. And when he did arteriograms on them 2 years later, the vessels have opened up and the blood supply to the heart is right back to where it should be.
Wow.
So listen, you follow Ruben's instructions to the T. Okay. Do everything he tells you to do, because he can actually open up blood vessels that are very narrow in the heart. And here's the neat thing. He isn't just opening them in your heart. Yes, it works in the heart. But if your heart vessels are opening up, so are your vessels in your brain. So are the vessels in your legs and your feet.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a total body therapy. And so.
Okay. Walk every day. He wants me to exercise. I had an angiogram 3 years ago because I was breathing heavy when I walked up hills.
Yep.
And I had an angiogram, and he came around and told me, you don't need stents. Your arteries are clear. It's the micro heart vessels. Mm-hmm. So he gave me this. And then I went 2 weeks ago, and we had another angiogram. And when he came back from that, he said, you don't need an angiogram. You don't need a stent. Your heart is actually the same condition it was 3 years ago. In fact, it's better.
Yep.
So,
and that's what we're after.
I've been eating So I have been eating salmon every day and taking what he gave me previously, red yeast rice, instead of the statins.
Yep. That's just great. And, you know, you keep it up. And that exercise is important because working muscles produce more than 300 different anti-inflammatory and growth factors that allow you to heal and repair damaged aged tissue. So when he tells you to get out and walk, you keep and do it.
I will. One more question, Dr. Mixon, and that is, how long should I take an Estrazol? I asked you this a couple years ago. I had breast cancer. And how long should I take this?
You know, the thing that I think is more important than the anastrozole, I mean, if you're out a year or more, it is to get you on testosterone. What we found is that women that have had breast cancer who are then put on a testosterone supplementation, they actually cut their risk of reoccurrences by almost 90%. And so that's the single most important thing is to get your testosterone levels back to a more youthful woman's range. And that is a very, very potent anti-breast cancer intervention.
But I thought you told me at one point that I couldn't have hormone therapy.
No. We've changed things over the last few years. The data is coming out now showing that testosterone in women is incredibly protective against breast cancer. Tell you what, we've got the music says we've got to take a break. I'm going to talk to you about this a little more when I get back. So sit tight, okay?
Stay right there, Peggy. Okay, we'll be back with Peggy in just a moment and Patty and Robert in just a few moments. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and here's the number to get through with your questions for the doctors, 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette Morgan. Hi there, Dr. Michael Gilbert here talking about eyes, and Dr. Jerry Mixon right now talking with Peggy about what to do, hormone therapy and breast cancer. When can you start and what's best?
Yeah. You know, this is an area that has been undergoing a lot of change and reevaluation in the last year or two or three. There are some studies coming out now showing that when you young lady were really a young lady when you were 20 or so, you actually had 2.5 to 3 times more testosterone in your bloodstream than you had estrogen. And then as the risk of breast cancer is rising because the estrogen, the progesterone, and the testosterone, all three of those sex hormones are declining. And the lower the hormone levels get, the higher the risk of breast cancer. And it turns out that the most protective of the three hormones is, in fact, the testosterone. But women who have been on no hormone therapy in their whole life have about 320 breast cancers per 100,000 woman years. Okay, 320 per 100,000 woman years. If a woman has been on estrogens, it actually lowers the risk about 30%. Okay, but then if you put those women on testosterone, you can drop that risk all the way down to 50 cases per 100,000 woman years. From 320 to 50.
Wow.
That's a dramatic drop. Okay, so
Yes. Dr. Mixon, one more question about the carnitine.
Yes.
You know, it says to not eat 2 hours and then take the pill and then so I don't, you know, how strict do I have to stay to that? I eat it before I wake up in the morning, and that's fine, and then I eat 2 hours later. But at night, how do I do that at night?
Well, of course, I'm opposed to you snacking at night anyway. So,
I try to stop eating by 7 or 8. But yes. It kind of keeps me awake at night because I worry whether I got the second dose.
Well, then take the second dose mid-afternoon between lunch and dinner.
Hmm. Yeah.
That works just fine.
So I eat, then I wait 2 hours. Then I take my pill, then I wait 2 hours to eat. That's what
sure.
it is.
Yeah, if you have lunch at noon, and then around 2 mm-hmm. or 2:30, take your pills, and then you're eating in the evening around 6 or 7, 8 o'clock, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it works.
So just do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for all you're doing. I really appreciate it, and I will come in about the other.
Come on in and let's see what we can do to make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and, of course, happier. All right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. I've got 75 students, so I need to have my energy. That's
yes,
true.
Ma'am, you do.
Yes.
All right. You
bye
take
bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Oh. Peggy, thank you for your call. Yeah, and she's right here in Kirkland, so that's good for her. 9:21, this is Leading Edge Medicine. We are headed to Mount Vernon, where the daffodils will be blooming very soon. No, Maple Valley. I got my MVs a little confused there. Patty from Maple Valley. Maybe you've got daffodils blooming, too. Hello, Patty.
Hi, I wish I had some daffodils. I don't have anything blooming here yet.
Nothing yet. Okay.
Well, it's still winter.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, but summer is coming.
Yes.
I have a question. I have a friend who is going in for a laser eye scraping. What is that? And I've never heard of that.
Can you help me a little bit about what your friend's problem is?
I don't know. Because
almost certainly, the laser can't scrape. I have numerous lasers. Each of my clinics and my surgery center has multiple lasers. Ophthalmology was the first area in medicine to be using laser, and different wavelengths do different things, different energy applications. So,
but none of them scrape.
No, none of them scrape. The first one to use was for heat transfer to the retina. We do that to treat abnormal blood vessels, abnormal tissue. What they're talking about, the most common application, I'm going to guess, of laser in ophthalmology would be the YAG, YAG laser. And it's used for a capsulotomy. So technically it's not scraping, but I think because it's clearing away a haze, some people might think it's scraping, but I don't think it's, I think technically we're not scraping, but I think that was a misunderstanding. So I'm going to guess your friend had intraocular lens implants, either RLE or cataract surgery implant. And about 40% of patients who have any such implantation, about 40%, will eventually have a haze form on an anatomical membrane that's between that implant and the retina. Normal aging of that tissue, it's not a problem. It's not scarring. Many people call it scarring. I think, unfortunately, a common name for that is a secondary cataract. It is not a cataract reformation. The only reason some people call it that is because it does to your vision the same experience as you have with the cataract. So that membrane that turns cloudy can seem like you're getting your cataract back, but it absolutely is not a cataract. So this membrane that clouds just behind the implant can be lasered. 30 years ago, we had to go back to the OR, make an incision, go underneath the implant and cut that open. Today, we've got a laser beam that goes right through the cornea, right through that implant, and releases micro pulses of energy right at the level of that membrane. The membrane is about the thickness of a red blood cell. It's extremely thin. And so just a micro pulse of laser energy can be used to open it up, but it doesn't scrape it. It actually acts just like a micro scissor, and you cut a little optical opening in that membrane. And overnight, No drops, no restrictions afterwards. You can go on a jog with Dr. Mixon right after the laser.
If you can keep up with it.
You can jump in the pool, go or hop on a flight at SeaTac. So no restrictions after that laser, and almost certainly overnight, vision will be right back to the best that it's been.
I've done that one.
So,
yeah,
yes,
you,
ma'am.
You've done that.
That's right.
Yes.
We did that for you. Right?
It was real fast.
I think that's,
that's
right. But there's no scraping. Absolutely none. And it turns out that particular membrane has no nerves, so there's no discomfort. You don't feel anything. You hear some clicks. But of course, it's just light energy, so there's nothing to feel, and it disrupts that membrane. And once lasered, it should be gone forever. That's what I think your scraping is. So I would say it's extremely low risk. Actually, I called up my son this last summer on a weekend, and I said, if you're not busy, meet me at the office. You're going to laser my eyes. So I've had mine lasered. If you just get a little degradation in the quality, and it almost instantly returns it. Extremely low risk, quick and easy.
Okay. Would that explain this past summer? She also had like a, I don't even know how to explain it, like an image kind of off in her eye when she would look off in a distance. There was this image. Yeah, she couldn't really explain it. Would that have anything to do with that?
It certainly could, because that distortion that forms on the membrane, it's actually just migration of epithelial cells across that membrane that then disrupt the light. So the first symptom is usually a glare with headlights or driving into the sun, or you can lose a little bit of the detail when you're reading. You become a little more dependent on reading glasses. I go all day without any supplement for reading. I read without my glasses, charts, etc., all day long. But it got to the point where I was having to reach for reading glasses every now and again. Well, that won't do. So I just had that quick laser, and it was overnight restored.
Okay. Well,
so that distortion could be what she was describing, sure.
Yeah, because it was like a black, as I remember she saying that it was, and we couldn't, I don't know, we just couldn't figure it out. So, but that might be
It sounds like it could also, that could also be a floater. If it's drifting in and out of view, then it's unrelated. It's actually floating behind that membrane between the between the membrane and the retina.
But you can have both.
You can have both, absolutely.
So,
and you can actually laser floaters, but now we're drifting off into yet another laser.
And it's a moving target.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Which makes it more fun, actually. A lot more fun.
Right. Pew, 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 pew.
Right. That's right. Video game in the house.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate
Thank you, Brother Calder.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for that, Patty. All right, we're going to take another break, and we will be back with more of your calls, and we will talk more about longevity and what it can do for you. We've had a few calls already today saying, you know what, Dr. Mixon, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to become one of your patients. Let's talk about that when we get right back from this. Then we have Robert and Tris on the line, so stay there, and if you've got a call, call now. Don't wait until the end of the show. 800-465-8777. We're going to be talking about diabetes type 2 in just a bit, as well as inflammation. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Achy, breaky heart. We hope you don't have one. If you do, Dr. Mixon can help it.
Yes.
Right. Or Dr. Maiden.
Oh, yeah, probably Dr. Maiden, the heart guy.
He does the achy, breaky heart.
Yes, he does. But you help the heart and all of the body at longevity. Yes.
Of course, you know, the fun thing that we have always refused to do is through the years, we have had many patients ask us if we would do a longevity dating service.
Oh, wow.
and we consistently refuse to do so. We don't need the liability for somebody suing us for their broken heart.
Mm.
But,
wow.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. But, listen, we got more lawyers than the rest of the world put together. Okay? So you should recognize we're litigious.
True enough.
But, you know, I went through this myself. You know, when I tried to date women my own age, they couldn't keep up. They just couldn't. They wanted to sit around and talk about the past, and I wasn't done having adventures yet.
Yeah.
You know, and so I ended up married to a woman that was 30 years my junior, just because we were a better physical and emotional match. The fact is that the things we do at Longevity have an enormous impact on your brain and how you think, how you feel, how you perceive yourself and the world. And yes, we have an enormous impact on your body. We do indeed make you stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and then happier goes with the brain function. But, you know, drive, ambition, self-confidence, the resilience of youth, the desire to get out and do things in the world, these are what our patients are finding. And so many of our patients have reached an age where they lose a spouse for either death or divorce, and they need to get back into the dating field. And if it's someone that's not in our clinic, they're just mismatched. You know, if a 60-year-old in our clinic is
so, if you don't have that service, Jerry, can someone who's a patient just sit and read in your read magazines in your waiting room
and chat,
strike
up
conversations?
Is that
a strategy
that you could post?
I don't really know.
I wonder.
I hadn't thought of that. So
that's right.
You see me out there reading magazines.
So. Yeah, then you'll know he's here again.
You got it.
What is he doing?
What is he doing? He's just meeting.
Does he have an appointment?
That's right. No. Yeah. So you know, Longevity Medical Clinic doesn't make you younger, because that involves warping space and time. You've lived how many hours and days and months and years you've lived. But we can alter your brain and your body function so that you function as well and more enthusiastically than people that are 10, 20, 30 years your junior, or back where you used to be 30 years ago. And that's the goal. You know, I say, we aren't really an anti-aging clinic. I don't make people younger. But stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, happier is enough for most people.
Yes, and feeling better than they did when they were 10, 20, 30 years younger.
Yes.
That's what you hear a lot of.
And it's not just feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at ads, you know, for other companies, and somebody says, and I feel 20 years younger, or I feel 10. What's the difference in feeling 10 or 20 or 30 years? I can't measure your feelings. You know,
that's true.
I can measure how much you can lift, how fast you walk, how fast you can run. I can measure how many times a week you're having sex. I can measure, you know, a lot of stuff in this world that is discernible. We put you on the InBody every time you come in. I measure the amount of fat and muscle in all your arms and legs and torso. You know, we look at what you're doing in life. Objective parameters count. Feelings count for you, but I can't measure then adjust them. You know, I'm always delighted when someone tells me how good they feel, but it's not an objective measurement that I can hang my clinical hat on. And so I want to go for the discernible, the things I can actually look at. And
both are important.
Yes,
they are.
Very important. And taking the first step is important, and that is coming in for the free health analysis. And yes, we still offer that, right, Dr. Mixon?
We do indeed. And, you know, if you'll come in, we'll do two very free simple tests that'll give us a rough idea of your risk factors, how much risk you are at for heart attacks and strokes and dementia, et cetera. But then based on your history and those tests, we're probably going to offer you a paid panel that'll give you a 72-page printout that's going to let us do some objective measurements. We're going to measure 8 different hormones. We're going to measure your inflammatory index. We're going to do some of your genome studies. We got a whole lot of stuff we're going to look at. And that'll give my doctors a chance then to sit down with you for an hour and go over in detail where your risks are, where your detriments are, what we can do for you if you would like us to help you. And then you get to make up your mind. You know, if you say, no, okay, I'm getting slow, I'm getting fat, weak, dumb, sexless, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and if that's happening to you and you like it, then go for it, baby, because you're going to succeed. I promise you're going to get slower, weaker, fatter, dumber, and more sexless. But if you don't like what's happening to you, if you'd like to be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier, then you need to become a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. That's really what it comes down to. And yes, you have to pay some money for it. But the reality is we have the least expensive, very comprehensive program of this type in the country. And there's a lot of naturopaths out there doing little pieces, bits and pieces of what we do. But the comprehensive program we've got is not matched by very many places anywhere in the country. And those that are doing what we do are charging 5, 6, 10 times what we charge. So, you know, I know a fellow in Manhattan's charging $100,000 a year and doing basically what we do.
Wow.
You know, our patients pay an average of about 6. He charges 100.
Wow.
So,
big difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Big difference. We want you to come in. We want you to find out where you are, and we want you to be stronger and leaner and faster and smarter
and sexier
and happier.
Happier is the happier is the final analysis. You know, if we treat you and you go away and you find yourself smiling your way through life with enthusiasm and joy, that's what it's all about.
There you go.
Success.
Absolutely. Yep. Here's the number to call to make that appointment for your free health analysis. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website for longevity. It's lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Get all the details and get the information you need. Pick the clinic closest to you, one in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And you can pick the time, the day that works best for your busy schedule. And we hope to see you here. 866-86-YOUNG. That's the number to call for your health analysis. Let's go back to the phones. Robert is in Seattle with a question. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Morning, hello,
Robert.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for the call. I called last week, actually, and told you that I had a colonoscopy and was diagnosed with celiac and IBD. Uh-huh. And the lady wearing the scope said I had a lot of inflammation in my colon. So I went to a primary care doctor, and he ran a bunch of blood tests. I'd like to run a couple of values by you. Everything, I had stopped taking all vitamins and medications for 5 months before the colonoscopy. I just started retaking them yesterday.
Okay.
But I went to, I go to Dr. Maiden like you told me to, and my heart panel is very good. I was surprised. CBC panel was very good. But I was concentrating on inflammation. So I found three values I think are important for inflammation. One was SED rate. Mine was 12, and the range is 0 to 15, mm/H. Mine was 12, right. Seems kind of high. C-reactive protein seemed low to me, a range of 0 to 10 mg/L. Mine was 1.5. That seems considerably under 10. However, the homocysteine range, which they measured in mCMOL/L, mine was
millimoles.
Quite a bit above normal. It was 15.8.
Okay.
Now, the only other thing that was bad in all the testing was my vitamin B12 was quite low. My primary care doctor said, well, that's probably because of the Crohn's disease, if that's what you got. And so my vitamin B12 on a range of 8, you know, whatever, PG to ML. Mine was, the lowest was 180 to 914, but mine was low at 161. So my primary care doctor says, well, you need to talk to your gastro guy and get an anti-inflammatory prescribed. My first question is, I have a question about vitamin B also, but my question is, are there any good anti-inflammatories that actually work that is prescription? Should I consider taking some of those? Because my primary care doctor said, I've had kind of a hot, cold fire running slowly through my body for years, and I need an anti-inflammatory. Do you know of any good ones? Are they any good?
All of the prescription anti-inflammatories have significant side effects, and the non-steroidal ones actually increase bleeding into the gut. So, no, do not take ibuprofen or any of that whole ilk. The anti-inflammatories that you need are resveratrol and curcumin. You need the polyphenols. You need to be on things such as tea, green tea, and black tea, the mixture. Green tea is better to protect against cancer formations, and the black tea decrease inflammation better. But the curcanoids are very, very good, especially for the large bowel, for cooling down inflammation in the bowel. And resveratrol, extremely important for that. But the other thing we'd want to take a look at for you is your complement reactive protein. We call it your CRP. High sensitivity CRPs, we like to keep them below 1. Normal is 1 to 3. People with inflammatory bowel disease are often up around 12 or 15. The rest of your numbers are not all that bad, but they're not that specific for bowel. The homocysteine worries me. The homocysteine up in that range tells me that you have increased risk of cardiovascular disease, stroke, dementia, and erectile dysfunction. All four of those I'd like to avoid. I'd like to get that homocysteine below 8 if we possibly could.
Okay, well, my C-reactive protein was 1.5. I assume that the things you prescribed, there was resveratrol and whatnot, they would handle the homocysteine best? Nothing prescription for homocysteine?
With homocysteine, really, methylated folate is probably your best bet, or niacin. The nicotinic acid or niacin are probably your best over-the-counter, and they work as well as all the prescription versions too.
Okay, well, that's my question about the vitamin B. This is the last question. My mother had something called a trigeminal neuralgia. Mm-hmm. Very painful. She had it on her face, forehead.
Yep.
I started taking a methylated vitamin B about 5 months ago.
Good.
Because I understood some people are genetically not good with methylation. So I took
about
one.
About a third of the population, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I found after taking 2 weeks of that, I got trigeminal neuralgia, but on my stomach and chest. In other words, and I would just sit sometimes during the day and slightly move. It would just send the shooting pains just from my shirt moving across my skin. So I stopped that vitamin B, and it went away. So I was kind of scared with taking the vitamin B. So I may take less of it. Maybe it was too strong. I don't know. But it was related to the vitamin B.
Okay. Well, the neuralgia that you're having is not a trigeminal, by the way. Trigeminal neuralgia is always in the face because it's the trigeminal nerve. The facial nerve has 3 branches, right, which is why we call it trigeminal. All right. One branch goes up to your forehead, one goes to your mid-face, and one goes to the lower part of the face. That is the tri. So whatever neuralgia you are developing, I mean, across your chest, that almost sounds more like a shingles outbreak than a reaction to B vitamins. Was there a rash with it? Did it get red or irritated at all? And was it on both sides of the chest or just one side?
No, it was a little below the chest on the stomach side, mostly on the right side, and there was no rash.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, one-sided, again, tells me high probability of an early or a mild shingles outbreak. If it was from your vitamin B, I'd expect it to be symmetrical, both sides, and more widespread. So when you got one isolated nerve branch in an older man, that is pretty much shingles till you've proven otherwise. Not likely to be from the vitamin B itself, though. So, and statistically, if you're in the bottom third of your B12 level, people in the bottom third of B12 have twice as much dementia as people in the top third. So I'd like you to keep your B levels robust to help protect your brain.
Okay, so I'll do resveratrol, curcumin, and the polyphenols, green teas for these problems.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Leading Edge Medicine continues. We got another call from Lakewood. And is it Tris on the line?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hi there. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you all. And thank you. I wanted to ask, Dr. Mixon, do you recommend the black currant for? What? I actually found sources of bags of the unsweetened dried berries for sale. Uh-huh. And I also found the plant bulbs that I could actually plant they're very attractive, by the way, the flowers.
Yes, but so the flowers don't do you much good.
It's, but they're pretty.
It's the ripe berries.
Yes, the berries.
Yeah.
Yes. But what do you use them for? What do you use black currant for? What is it? How does it work?
Well, the idea is there are 11 sirtuin genes in the human body, in us mammals.
Uh-huh.
And those genes are involved in longevity in one way or another. CERT1, you want to suppress. And that's what rapamycin does. That's why rapamycin is useful. So, by the way, resveratrol is also a sirtuin-1 suppressant, and so is metformin. So those are the big three. Resveratrol, of course, is the only one of the three that is not a prescription drug. So I use that to suppress sirtuin. But then sirtuin number 2, if you suppress it, you suppress your immune system. So we don't want to mess with that. We want to suppress one a bit, but we want to increase the function of sirtuin 6. Okay. There is a chemical in blackberries and in the black currant berries that can increase the activity of sirtuin 6 by up to 57 times. And CERT 6 is related to healing, repairing, and longevity in every animal we've tested it in. So suppressing 1 and activating 6 is the way to go. That's the way we want to balance them. Okay? We don't have a prescription drug to activate 6, but we don't need it. We've got the chemicals found in the very dark fruits. And the fruit that has the absolute highest level of anything on the planet is the black currant.
Uh-huh. How about, so she found a source of dried black currant. Do you think that in the drying process we damage?
It depends on how it's dried.
Yeah.
Heat to dry them will actually destroy part of the good
stuff. Destructive, that would be my concern.
But if it's vacuum dried, in other words, if they just go in a great big chamber and they just start pulling the air out, and that then takes the moisture.
I don't know how it's done commercially, but usually isn't that what it's with heat?
Usually it's with heat. So we want to avoid heat if we can. But if it's, you know, so you want to talk to the company. If they are, you know, naturally dried or if they're vacuum dried, that's the way to go. Now, the other thing with currant berries is you want to make sure that they are. Fully ripened fruit. The scary thing about black currant is that the unripe fruit is toxic to mammals. You can actually get poisoned. You can actually get poisoned from the unripe fruit. But the ripe fruit doesn't have any of the toxins, and it gets the good stuff. So you want the fully ripened fruit and none of the unripened fruit. Okay?
So drying, either sun-dried or...
Vacuum-dried, yeah.
Frozen might be better if...
Yes.
Yes, sounds like it. Frozen, you think frozen would be okay if you found a source of frozen then?
Yes, yeah. Cold doesn't bother it, but excess heating does. Okay?
Fantastic.
Or wait for the Mixon black currant juice.
That's right.
Yes, I'll wait.
Which probably would not be till next winter. Though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Absolutely. And I wanted to know. I have a friend. I have a physician friend who is not in your field at all, and was recently diagnosed. She's in another state. Unfortunately, I can't send her in to the clinic, but. She didn't realize that type 2 diabetes could be reversed, and she was just diagnosed with that.
We do it all the time.
Where to get started?
Well, first of all, if she's Caucasian or of African ancestry, those two groups are almost always related with being overweight. It's insulin resistance that is triggered by weight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If she's Asian... Asians are genetically predisposed to type 2 diabetes, even if they're skinny. So with Asians, we have to address it differently. The number one step with Caucasians or African Americans is weight loss. Get them down, and then we build as much muscle as we can, because muscle burns sugar even when you're sleeping. So you want as much muscle mass as you can get and as little body fat as you can get.
Okay. Is it possible that an out-of-state resident can become a patient at longevity?
My dear, we have people from all over the country. We even get people that have flown in from China, and we've had one patient for, I don't know, 10 years or so now from Norway.
Excellent. But can she do it without coming to the state?
No, we need to see her in person at least one time. To set up what our board considers a legitimate doctor-patient relationship. After that, we can do a lot of stuff by telemedicine.
Excellent. Ivan Keller. Okay. And I'll look forward to the longevity cruise and the cafes attached to
it. Oh, yes. I want to plan that.
Okay.
Woohoo!
Thanks an awful lot, dear.
Thank you for that, Tris. Just a few minutes left. I know we hear a little hiss on our end, but we're still on the air. We're doing good. So
I hear a lot of hiss.
Yeah.
Where's coming
from? We're not sure what that's what that is, but we're going to keep going here.
I was
here.
Hoping it was on her phone.
No.
She's gone.
I still hear it. Yeah. But as long as you don't hear it on air, and I believe that they don't, we have just a couple minutes left. So Dr. Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute, what is the biggest thing you see people for right now?
Oh, I think by far the most common is RLE, refractive lens exchange.
Okay.
People come in the hopes that they can get rid of their dependence on glasses, which is in youth up to about age 40. LASIK is probably the most effective with that. There's a group of patients that can't have LASIK, and we have a new technology implant for those patients that are younger. But starting age 50, the implant technology where we get rid of the failing natural lens.
Mm.
So those are becoming more and more dependent on glasses, contacts. That can be eliminated by switching that out to one of the new technology implants that restores your vision. And once done, that should be good for the rest of your life.
Wow. Huge. And it's called RLE.
Refractive Lens Exchange.
You've done it. Dr. Mixon has done it. I've done it.
Yeah. I had it done in my 50s before it had a catchy name, RLE.
Okay. What was it called way back in then?
It didn't have a
that
name.
Was just
I
a
just
couple
wanted,
of years
right,
ago.
Right.
Okay.
But
RLE.
I was tired of my contacts. So.
Okay.
Like Dr. Mixon, highly nearsighted, and I was so fed up with it.
You were ready to be done.
Complete change.
You can contact Dr. Gilbert and his staff at Northwest Vision Institute, like I did, like Dr. Mixon did, at 425 425- 1-800-450-2020. That even is our show.
Even my 11-year-old daughter.
That's right. She is also a patient. So.
She wants to know when it's her turn.
That's right.
She wants her eyes fixed.
Yes. Hey, that's it for the show today. We'll see you next time on Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great weekend.